The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, and welcome to My Brother, and Me, an advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
Oh, what up, Trav Nation? It's me, your middlest brother, Travis Vroom Vroom McElroy.
And hey, it's me, your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30 guy, Griffin, built for tough, McElroy.
I want to ask you guys a question. Kept me up last night a little bit, not a super long time. Now, I want an honest answer, clear your minds, and this is not...
That's not Travis, if that was just said to do, if I could do it, do you realize how much better my life would be?
And I want to make this clear. This is not should or would, but can human beings ride ostriches?
This kept you up.
Yeah. Because I realized my only point of reference for it was, like, I've seen it, like, in movies or cartoons or something, I think.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I mean, I think
it's a cowboy who rides an ostrich. But which, like, I assume, by the way, and it's not seasonal, but that cowboy just doesn't know where to get a horse.
Can
I clarify if ostriches are real?
They are, yeah.
Okay.
Big.
I get confused with them and Pegasi.
And emus. They're the same. Those are the same animal, and they should be reclassified as
dodos.
They're gone.
Not as big. So this kept you up.
Yeah, because like when I picture an ostrich and I think about the whole design,
yeah,
it doesn't seem like a human being should be able to ride.
I guess my issue is like when my thoughts keep me up, they're usually more me centric and less focused on the load-bearing capacity of flightless birds.
Oh, I have those too, Griffin. But I'm
okay. Cool.
Like those are normal human thoughts.
Yeah.
And then I have the ADHD brain thoughts.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, sometimes my brain's like, "How did fountains work before electricity?" And that will keep me up for like 4 days.
Now, can I say something, Trav? That's a good one.
Yeah.
The ostrich thing is like easily Googleable. The analog fountain thing is medium Googleable.
Well, I'm 41 years old, Griffin, and I've processed through a lot of the good ones already.
Now I'm down to
the snickle fritz of, is it possible for an ostrich to support the weight of a grown
A kid.
But sure.
No one's going to let their kid in there with that giant bird of prey.
Yeah.
No way. It's good. It's a good question, though, Trev.
I looked it up.
Oh, what's the answer?
Apparently, one, this isn't going to surprise you guys, a lot of ethical concerns about it.
What do you mean?
That ostriches, like I said, are not, unlike a horse, which has everything about it seems built to convey.
Yeah. I mean, to be more accurate, Trav, we've built horses.
built horse tough. But,
built horse tough.
But ostriches are not built for that. But apparently... up to, and this is the most specific weight I've ever heard.
It's going to be so much lower than I want.
163 pounds.
Okay, actually, that may be a. It would be tough. There would be some lifestyle changes that I frankly am not like.
I don't want to be out with the girls and have to think like, do I have that next piece of cheesecake or do I want to ride an ostrich?
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't need to be
especially if you're right on the border, because this isn't 163.
That's so
like
specific.
That means they put a 164-pound person on there, and the ostrich crumbled.
Oh, Travis!
And ostrich is like, fuck you! Off, no, off, off, no, off, no, 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 it's, no, 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 off, off, off!
It's
are
really,
you wearing like a heavy coat or something? This isn't.
It's
take
funny.
Your keys out of your fucking pocket, Dan.
It's you're funny that me. It's funny that you think that they started with 164 and didn't have to walk it down from like 215, and then they flew a lot of flags half-mast in ostrich land
during
that. I think
they just John Proctored it from 30 up. You know what I mean? Like, they just kept adding 1 pound
more weight.
Yeah, more weight.
I like.
I do like, that. Okay, well, let's make a Boyhood-style movie.
Okay.
Where it's they start with like a 30-pound kid. And yeah. Every day as the child grows, they put it back on the
ostrich.
Back
on the ostrich.
And they're like, are we cool with this one? Weigh the kid. Okay, great.
There's that. I do like that one. There's like a 4-minute long sequence in Curious Tale of Benjamin Button where he is de-aged enough where he has the physical capability to ride the ostrich and the mental capability to ride the ostrich, right? They line up and there's like a week where it's
great
just
week.
Him riding the ostrich. Right? It's like 4 minutes of the movie is like, finally, those two. I stopped everything else I was doing in the story.
And that happens at exactly the midway point of the movie.
That's where you can go get, it says intermission at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Go get snacks if you want.
Let's you just see the shot of just him on the ostrich, and it's a wide shot. He's far back there, just going back and forth.
I think we're overdue for a glow up on these big flightless birds. Of the
ostrich.
I think that we don't think about these guys a lot because they're played, but also because they're so gross and weird looking. Like their neck and head looks like a worm, and the way it goes in their body is like fucked up. Like it goes, your neck goes into your side.
Why
cool
do their
ostrich.
Feathers
That's
stop?
Awesome. Why do the feathers stop? There are a lot of great questions. Now, if we could give him a cute little beak and cover him in bright yellow feathers, give him two big bright wings, long legs, a cuter sound that he makes, and we have chocobos, and we have them be, boutique. This is a boutique mount. All of a sudden, I think ostriches are going to be back on top, still going to have the ethical concerns of riding on them, which if you didn't know, every Final Fantasy character is under 163 pounds.
Yes.
That's just the way it works. Fucked up that's part of it, but.
This actually dovetails into something nicely that I like. Current events that I'd love to take your guys' attention.
We're all low now. We all like this low life.
This is good. This is conversational. Do you know we brought back dire wolves?
Joe Manganiello's pumped about it.
Joe Manganiello's pumped. A lot of people are pumped about this. Let's talk. Because I saw George R.R. Martin, who if somebody's going to know from Dire Wolves, be this guy.
Yeah. Right?
I saw a picture of him. And the story is, we brought back dire wolves, which I will admit in my initial ignorance thought that they, and this is why I had to ask about the ostrich guys, because I have completely lost track of which
For
of
sure.
these guys we made up and which ones we didn't.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's a full-time job keeping up with that
so
stuff.
Apparently these guys were real. They were roaming around.
Man.
And this,
sorry, but just on that, Justin, my search bar today, it's Unicorn Day, and it pops up and says, Unicorn Day, were they real? And I didn't know that was a scientific question. Anyways, go on, Justin, bringing back dire wolves.
Okay, thank you. So we did it. So the headline is, U.S. company resurrects the extinct dire wolf or some version of it. So here's the thing that's fucked, right?
Yeah.
This company did not bring back these incredible, real Ice Age predators that roamed across the
tundra.
The tundra, right? The company is calling them dire wolves and is referring to this as the world's first successfully de-extincted animal.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
That's outside awesome. Experts are more cautious.
Yeah.
Describing the pups as genetically modified gray wolves.
Yeah.
Because the process used to create them involved editing the genes of the species to add dire wolf traits.
Yeah.
So what they say is, this is a quote, we define de-extinction success as bringing back the functional ecological traits that made dire wolves unique contributors to their ecosystem. And our dire wolves are an example of that. So here's what they are saying.
Yeah.
We found wolves And we glued some shit to them makes them a lot like
we
direwolves.
We painted them.
And we're calling this a W in our book. And George R. R. Martin was like, fucking good enough for me. And Joe Manganiello was like, sounds good. So I'd love to get a counterpoint of, fucking don't do this. Are you crazy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wolves are killer, right? We love wolves.
Love wolves.
Do you know how safe wolves are for us as a people? Wolves are so safe that they don't keep statistics on wolf attacks. That's because they just...
They're chill.
Don't.
Like, they get it.
Why are we gluing things onto them to make them worse?
Well, because we won wolves. Like, we beat wolves. We figured out everything about wolves, and they're not a threat to us anymore.
So
and
we're nastying them up now.
Getting it spicy.
We're giving them a little mohawk, you know? Yeah, we're giving them, like, big... It says, in the story, it says that these are bigger than gray wolves would be at this time. Because of the stuff they did to him?
Yeah, sure.
Man, Justin. I don't know if we want to make really big wolves.
This is what I learned.
I feel like things are on a rough enough trajectory that we don't need to make
huge
super
wolves.
Big wolves.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
This is what I learned from the documentary Jurassic World. When they were like, we brought back dinosaurs, but we get that that's not enough. So we fucked with the genetics of this dinosaur to make it better at eating people and hunting you and killing people. And I look at them and I go, you know what would be better? Smaller dinosaurs that I could keep in my office in like a fish tank, and they're perfectly happy. So Justin, to your point, bigger wolf, no. Give me small wolf. And now I'm saying it, that's a dog.
That's a dog.
He did
also
that one.
Bad. We don't want to mess with them. Right.
Dogs?
Wolves.
Okay.
They're fine. I don't want them more scary than they are. By the way, on the Facebook post that George R. R. Martin put up, where he's like, we did it. Mission accomplished. He's in front of the big banner. We did it. Dire wolves are real. At P.S., not a single comment, by the way. Miss the irony of George R. R. Martin living to see the unextinction of dire wolves before he finished publishing his book. Like, the extinct creature beat him to market.
Right. Time
and of
has
course,
already...
that was all the comments, because that is the most important thing about this, is that he has not finished the book series. That's the number one thing.
I will also say, man, this feels like if I needed to do some, like, serious housework and instead spend an hour... like reorganizing my 3D printer filament. Yeah. And then I was like, mission accomplished. And it's like, hey, do you think bringing direwolves back from extinction
now,
was like our number one?
I will say you never know which scientific developments lead to the next. If creating these huge, nasty turbo wolves, in some way they're like, and in doing so, cancer, gone. Now all of a sudden I'm listening.
Yeah, these wolves eat cancer.
These wolves eat cancer out of the air.
I used to think I have a generalized anxiety disorder, and now I've learned that I'm just good at worrying about stuff before other people realize they need to.
You're a trendsetter, dude.
Yeah, I'm ahead of the game on this one, guys. Listen, I was right about Trump, and I'm going to be right about dire wolves, but you still have a chance to do something about the wolves, right?
Right.
Come on.
Now, what is that, Juice? You tell me now. Because it seems to me like the horse is out of the barn, and by horse, I mean giant wolf is out of the barn. And if it's us against them, I'm not comfortable with the optics of that.
What I'm saying is...
I'm joining up.
What I'm saying is, and this is just us three, right?
Yeah.
No one's listening.
Just us three. Maybe it would be nice. Maybe we could use a boost as a people, as a species.
Yeah.
And re...
Re-extinct
the dire wolf. Like, victory over the dire wolf. Like, we could use... It's a little win, right? It's a Pyrrhic victory, for sure.
Because they're not even real dire wolves, but like... I understand that we domesticated you guys into dogs. You can domesticate me as a pet. I don't want to die. I will turn coat so hard.
Oh, Travis is firmly on team direwolf then.
You flipped. Okay, that's interesting.
No, if they're listening. If they're not listening, Justin, I'm totally on your side. But I don't know how powerful these bad boys' hearing is.
Yeah,
so if any direwolf can hear this.
If you're in the fucking settings menu of the wolf, genetically speaking, you could probably crank a lot of different kind of heuristics all the way up to top apex.
Just saying, if they can hear this right now, I'm on your side, direwolf.
Now!
Can we genetically modify the direwolves to make them big enough to ride? Okay. Direwolves? That's so 2000 and late. You know it's so 2025? Wargs. Give me a warg any day of the week.
I'd love a warg
that I can ride around on. Because guess where the warg can't bite? The guy on his back. And it's not going to be ethically bad because we're going to make the wargs love it to be ridden. And they can carry so much more than 160
But don't make
pounds.
Them love it too much.
Thank you.
I don't want it to feel weird that I'm doing it.
Was there ever a dire ostrich?
That could be, Justin.
I'm a film student at a local community college, and I have a part-time job working in a bookstore on the weekends. Recently, I've discovered one of my coworkers is also interested in film and enjoys writing scripts. I was so excited to hear this, as we could use more scriptwriters in the program because most people focus on wanting to direct or operate the camera. Only problem is he only writes fan scripts about He-Man. How can I convince my coworker to write other characters, or at least... the very least, switch the character's name to non-copyrighted ones. That's from Scripty in SC.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think what this person is asking us to do is to create our own, right now, to create our own Creative Commons
He-Man. Yeah.
For the public imagination.
Yeah, because you don't want to cut He-Man out. I think many movies, maybe all, would be made better if He-Man was there, not necessarily destroying things, smashing through things, punching things. Like, think of, like, most movies are made better by The Rock being in them, a large man with powerful muscles commenting on things.
Yeah.
That He-Man could be that.
Well, what about names? I mean, right off the bat.
Boy guy.
Muscle boy guy.
Champ. Muscle champ.
Muscle, what was that?
Muscle champ is not as good as boy muscle guy.
Champ. Prince Muscle Champ is... pretty cool.
Prince Muscleton.
But he's not, that's two different guys is the
Prince
in He-Man.
Prince Muscleton would be his normal.
I actually think it's even better if no one guesses that Prince Muscleton is actually...
Boy guy.
Why is he a boy? That's not like a part of the He-Man mythos.
You know what? Inclusivity, they, them. Just call him they, them.
I don't know about that.
But it's not following the convention of He-Man.
They person.
Is... yeah, but that doesn't sound great. Boy guy, however, I think drips off the tongue and I think gets you close enough to the sort of original syntactic.
Okay, boy guy.
Idea.
And Prince Muscleton becomes boy guy.
I've heard it too many times now and start to feel like real girl's girl kind of deal. Yeah. Like, oh, he's a real boy's guy.
When that one lady wrote the 50 Shades books, those started out as Twilight fan fiction.
Yeah.
And then they turned into the best-selling books that have ever been released and made three bonerific film adaptations out of those. So who's to say that this is not going to happen for their He-Man script?
When Griffin says sexiest book, he's not counting Go Tell a Watchman by Harper Lee. Wanted to clarify.
No, yeah. I haven't read that one. I do understand the erotic nature of it is... boiling.
Man,
scalding hot. Manny.
Manny the Muscle King.
Meehan.
This was not sort of the question
they wanted.
I don't
What is the essential nature of a He-Man story? It's man hides muscles.
Yeah.
So man, what are some other muscle hiders?
Fight like skeleton.
Yeah. I don't really, can I say something? Lump this dude in with Snoopy. I have no feelings about He-Man. What the fuck soever.
You missed that generationally.
Yeah,
huh?
I did. By about 25 years. It's that dude is so fucking old.
That's not it.
Okay.
He's pretty old. And he has a bunch of weird friends and a big purple cat. And it's like, Green. You lost me.
And here's the thing. Here's what I will say that I enjoy about old school He-Man and his cat. You had a big, muscly prince in a tight fit, making it clear he was a big, muscle prince. And the big, muscle prince had a pet tiger.
Yeah.
And then he would become He-Man, and his size did not change at all.
No.
And his tiger got armor, and everyone's like, who the fuck is that guy?
Who is that? Yeah. Who is
this
it?
This is absolutely...
I think there needs to be more of that.
It's absolutely fair. Absolutely. The tiger cringer is the name of the tiger. And the tiger also gets more brave with the armor, but it's like,
so would I.
Yeah, me too. Like, yeah, you know, like, Cringer is scared. Like, give him the fucking armor so he's not scared.
It's fucked up that you take the armor away from him ever.
Yeah, Prince Muscleton has the sword. Like, he can at any point be like, lop someone's head off. Like, he has no reason to be afraid.
But the tiger can't put the armor on.
A sniper, assassins from Skeletor could kill Cringer, like, from assassin's bullet, 100 yards, no problem. Grayskull window shatters, Cringer's dead.
Cringer is also just wheezing off of He-Man's power.
Yeah.
Cringer can't be like, I'm freaked out by the power of Grayskull. I have the power.
It's dark. It's 2 a.m., right? I'm like, I want to go to CVS, but it's like late, and I don't want to get, like, I would just like the armor, please.
He has to ask, like, Prince Adam, like, hey, could you He-Man out so that I get the reflective? And Prince Adam's like, no.
He said, I'm in the shower.
I know, but I've got to do stuff.
Griffin, that took you so long to laugh at. You really did miss out on He-Man.
I did. Yeah, I don't know who he is, and I've been pretending for a really long time.
Like years and years.
I don't know fucking anything about him. I think in the entertainment economy we find ourselves in right now, I cannot comfortably say that writing about He-Man exclusively is a bad idea. Because it does feel like it's time. Like, if I don't know who this fucking dude is, that's a huge market potential for He-Man. Maybe it kicks ass. I don't know. It seems pretty busted. It seems like a semi-nude royal man who transforms with a magic sword. Like, and he has a tiger. Like, that's what it seems like to me. I'm pretty
sure we all saw the Masters of the Universe movie together.
Yeah, yeah,
Theaters. Yeah, when I was a zygote. Don't remember it. It's old.
The only thing I remember is it being the first time I ever saw a post-credits scene.
Oh, shit.
That then
Skeletor comes back out.
Yeah, sorry then from that moment on, when Clint Mackrow would take his sons to go see a movie, we did not leave.
In case Skeletor comes back out.
And can I tell you, Skeletor never came back at the end of other movies.
No.
Which I think would have been a wild but breathtakingly pretty artistic cool choice.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah. Into Marley and Me. Skeletor.
You're kidding me. The dog dies? Christ almighty.
I sat through the whole thing. God damn it.
I'm attending a friend's wedding soon and learning that a former Olympian will also be attending. This person is semi-famous, yes, multiple gold medals, and competed in swimming. What are some good ways to strike up a conversation with Michael Phelps? And that's from American admirer in Apalachicola?
Cool.
Okay.
There's no way it's Michael Phelps, right? Because no one would describe Michael Phelps as semi-famous.
Probably not Phelpsy, yeah. But I'm pretty sure that they would say, like, he was an athlete. He won 90 gold medals. Yes. It's like, okay. Well, that leaves us just with the one option.
So there's a lot of options. We're not going to be able, I'm looking here, multiple golds. Other than Phelps, it could be Mark Spitz, Caleb Dressel, Matt Biondi, Ryan Lochte, right? We don't know.
Yeah, it could be like
Kayla Decky, Jenny Thompson, Amy Van Dyken.
Some of those.
Dana Vollmer.
Some of those maybe don't brush up to. Maybe some of those, like, you see Lochte, maybe. You keep him over.
Yeah, keep it locked down.
Yeah.
I don't think you can be a former Olympian. I think once an Olympian, always an Olympian.
Well, yeah.
Compete at that level. I think that you never can turn the competitive thing off. I'd be worried at a wedding, how am I going to beat these people to the buffet? You know, is everything going to be a competition? Like, oh, I took the biggest bite of cake. Like, great, Ryan. Well,
Very good, Ryan. That's a problem.
Yeah, not everything's a competition, Ryan.
You will have an advantage based on sort of your, because I'm assuming it's not an aquatic wedding.
No,
like
I'm sure they would have mentioned.
Yeah. It's not a wedding. It's a wedding. And so, like, you will have the sort of terrestrial edge. Mm-hmm. They may be able to take you in the water, absolutely, but they have spent so much of their life in the water that, like, their bone density is all fucked up, and you will be stronger and faster than them on land. Pretty much guaranteed.
If it's one of those things where it plays out like a hilarious America's Funniest Home Video where, like, the bride falls in the water, they're over a lake, oh, no, big windy or whatever, oh, it falls, the guy trips.
That doesn't sound funny.
I know, right? But they're always on there. There's whole episodes.
Every episode of America's Funniest Home Videos, a bride falls in the water during her wedding.
Yeah, man.
And Christ, Jesus.
And an Olympian and has to jump
taffeta,
in and save her.
The many layers of taffeta pull her down to the briny depths.
Unless an Olympian is there.
Yeah, you watch someone die in every episode of AFV.
Yeah. I bet if it's your wedding and your new spouse falls in the water and starts to drown, that feels pretty bad. And then a handsome Olympian jumps in and saves her. You're like probably 99% like, oh, thank Christ. Oh, thank God. My beloved. But then there's also part of you that's like, it would have been cooler if I did that.
Yeah.
It would have been cooler if I was the one who jumped in to save my new wife. I mean, it's a rented
tux. And I had to take that into account.
I'm not good swimming. Not good at swimming. And I knew that Phelpsy was here.
Yeah.
So
right.
Like, I kind of figured he got me and he did, which is great. And I'm, again, so stoked.
Because it would be more embarrassing if you jumped in first and then Phelps jumped in after you and Phelps saved your bride. And then you were like, I guess I'll swim back.
Oh, no. Phelps would save you on the way. And it's like, Phelps, I didn't need... He's like, no, it's fine. I'm already out here saving your new wife. I don't mind to save you, too.
It's not an extra trip for me.
It's no problem.
And then you start to think... Did Phelpsy engineer this situation in some way to cuckold me on my special day?
Yeah.
Classic Phelps.
And the answer might surprise you.
It's no.
It's no. He probably didn't do that.
He doesn't need to.
Doesn't want to, probably. Okay.
I'm just saying that if he did want to, I don't think Michael Phelps would have to engineer an elaborate scheme to impress other people.
Did you guys ever know... An aspiring Olympian growing up.
Yes. I did too. I took wrestling classes from Olympic wrestler Ken Cherto.
Oh, that's right.
Fuck! That's right. I forgot about that. Man, I haven't heard that name in 20 years, Ken Cherto.
That man oversaw a spar that I had with my friend Steven where he busted my nose, gave me a bloody nose. Thanks,
Not Ken
Cherto.
Cherto didn't bust your nose, did he?
No, Steven did.
Okay. And all I know about Ken Cherto, as far as like bringing up wrestling to him, seemed like what he was about. But it was a wrestling class, so I think that tracks.
Yeah. I had a friend who was a swimmer and like had Olympic dreams and swam every day for lots of time a day and like had the bleached hair and all the stuff that comes with like being a professional in the water person. And that must be a frustrating set of skills to possess and not be able to do anything with, in most of the earth that you walk and most of the places that you go in any day to day, you got to be thinking the whole time, like, gosh, dang it. If only this Home Depot was underwater. If this was an underwater, grocery store, then my skills would be like, I would be kicking everyone's ass here. No problem.
Yeah. But Griffin, when you're like Usain Bolt and you reach the shore, as you've been running across the entire country, and you're like, now I have to stop and turn around, right? Because most of the earth is covered with water. So while the day-to-day, I agree with you, but as far as getting around, Michael Phelps can hit the ocean and swim to Europe.
What is the most practical Olympic sport that's going to equip you with skills? And obviously, you're going to say running or something that's like, yeah, of course, because we all do it, but that's not funny.
Shot put, because you throw stuff. I mean, the ability to throw stuff that's heavy.
I throw more than I swim. Just looking at my D&D verb set, my text parser adventure game set, I throw more than I swim, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Okay. Okay, so I think there's two viable answers, right? Yeah. It's the triathlon, the biathlon.
That's cheating.
No, it's not cheating. It's about two very different approaches to life. Triathlon is run... swim, bike. Biathlon, by contrast, is ski and shoot. Which is your approach?
Tag yourself.
Which are you? Are you the kind of person that shoots someone and then skis away from the problem? Uh-huh. Or are you the sort of person that just keeps running?
I'm a ski and shoot, if I'm being honest. The downhill is doing a lot of the work.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is cross country.
Griffith, important distinction.
Yeah.
Because for my life, it is about shooting at something and then slowly inching away while everyone watches me.
Right.
It's not a fast, thrilling.
As sick as it would be to turn it into sort of a
rifle-based downhill jam. That would be fucking sick, actually. Get the skis out of there. We snowboard.
Take the shot in midair. Shots are midair.
Snowboard and paintball would be wicked awesome. I'd be so into that. Oh, now I'm picturing it.
So don't talk to them about swimming. They probably don't want to talk about
Talk to them. If they bring up swimming,
if they bring it up, fine. But they're not going to fucking bring it up, man. There's no way they're going to bring it up unless it's a swimming pool wedding, which is cool. That I don't know why those don't exist.
Oh, but Griffin, what if it's a gray area where, like, you're getting some punch with them and they're like, man, this is a pretty deep punch bowl. And you're like, okay, are they hinting at want me to say something about, I bet you could swim in there. No, there's no way they want me to say that. But they're looking at me. They're still waiting for me to respond, and their eyebrows are getting higher on their forehead. And
they'd be like, hey, do you think that this wedding venue has a floor like the gymnasium and It's a Wonderful Life that is splits open and turns it? Like, if you're a professional swimmer, you got to be keeping your head on a swivel. Like, I wonder if this floor of this building splits open to reveal a pool underneath that we can all jump into and have the time of our lives until our dad had a stroke. Oh no. Like, we got to get out of here.
But that was a very unique experience to kind of one person in It's a Wonderful Life. It wasn't like a third of those people swimming in the pool had to scramble out.
I would say George Bailey's dad having a stroke affected that whole damn town, Travis.
Fuck, and Griffin, you're right.
You missed the point of it entirely.
Hey, do you think that the kid who opened the floor faced jail time, criminal charges for...
No, it was a fucking prank, dude. Calm down.
Now, okay. When he closed the floor and gooshed all those people... that was a fucked up part of the movie, but you know, Capra's got a sick mind. I don't need to see a picture of Coach Concerto, Jeff. I don't know why you thought I needed this.
It is unfortunate that Concerto's website lists some of the wrestlers he has coached, and Travis is not listed. So that is unfortunate.
Probably because I was very bad.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not your fault.
The Concerto system, though.
Think of all the practical skills you got from the Concerto system, Travis.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's take a break. Okay.
Let's
go. It's better
with you. Justin Griffin.
Yeah.
I want to start a website.
Okay.
And listen, I know I have big dreams. I do. And my dream for a website is that it would be beautiful. That it would let me maybe sell products and my time, that it would be very user-friendly, that it would have cutting-edge design. But here's the thing. You guys know this. I'm an idea man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of a blue sky kind of guy.
You can barely think.
I barely think. I only dream.
Right.
I don't know how to do this. No thoughts, only dreams. Yeah. No thoughts, only dreams. I'm willing to offer you guys each... $500 to build me a website.
Wow, Travis, that's unnecessary.
Great. Yeah, I'll take it. No, shit, great. Really... Justin, shush.
No, we'll I am it. Curious as to what Justin was saying.
I was just going to say this. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have blown up the spot, but Squarespace does make that really easy. Like, you don't need to pay a bunch of money. Squarespace can help you make a world-class website because they got templates. So you can, they'll give you the templates to make it look great, and you put in your photos, you sell your stuff, but it's going to look good because they already had designers make it look good. You understand?
Yeah.
Do you know how tight money is for me, Juice? Do you know how big a change $500 would make in my life?
I do, Griffin, but you're going to earn that the honest way because you can set up a business with a Squarespace website, sell stuff, get your business going with this website. So you don't need to steal anymore.
I'll tell the boys that the reason that Easter's canceled this year is because I had to earn the $500 I'd so desperately need the honest way because Uncle Justin said I had to. And they'll understand.
This is good news for you then. I got a free trial offer. Head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
See, now that I find myself with $1,000 extra, Griffin, I'll pay you $1,000 to ruin Justin's credit.
That should not be too difficult, if I'm being completely honest.
Awesome.
Hey, how am I supposed to cook a meal? how am I supposed to cook a meal? Because there's so much happening all of the time. And sometimes
it's
hard.
Get a meal.
Yeah, exactly, Travis. Thank you so much. Certainly can't cook it because... No.
Well, that's weird that you guys are saying that because I recently have really been enjoying a lot of great dishes like Mediterranean sheet pan chicken or roasted salmon. Maybe even a low-carb chicken and zucchini noodle salad.
You know, Justin, it's that kind of attitude that makes me want Griffin to ruin your credit.
Yeah, I don't know why you keep bringing up my credit
it's
today,
just when
Travis.
Griffin and I are talking about how hard it is for us to like prep and cook a meal, and you're like, I can do it.
I do it all the time.
I can
do
it.
Well, no. It's Marley Spoon, guys. I use Marley Spoon.
Oh.
You don't know about this? Yeah, they got over 100 recipes. So you can choose the stuff that looks good to you, the things that you actually want to eat, and they make it really easy to make it. So you can make it at home, right? Delicious.
In my home?
Food that you made in your own house, Travis.
I don't have to go to someone else's house?
The same place where you shower and sleep. That house.
Someone else's house, you mean.
I appreciate that, Drews. I have a pretty refined palate, as you know, and the sort of foods that I require are maybe a little bit more elevated. So, like, these days I'm only eating, like, Martha Stewart's best bean and cheese enchiladas.
Yeah, that's Marley Spoon. This is
oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, Martha's DNA is all over this thing. She is shepherding.
Well, I don't know about that, Justin. I don't know about all that, Justin.
I don't think you should say that.
There's fingerprints everywhere.
Yeah, man.
You can
she's
make.
Not,
a,
she's not getting away with this one.
You can
Stop.
Make.
It's not a, in. This is not in the podcast. Stop.
It is in the podcast. You can make a colony of new Marthas with Martha's best mac and cheese carbonara. Guaranteed. Okay. A lot of DNA on that.
Yeah, there's express recipes that this has been nice because we've been starting to do more rehearsals at night for summer theater, and there's not a lot of time to cook. But they've got recipes you can make in 15 minutes, and it's like a real, actual dinner, not fast food. It's something with a lot of nutrition in it that you feel really good about.
Yummy. Yummy stuff, guys.
Yeah, this year, fast-track your way to eating well with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/mybrother and use code MYBROTHER for up to 27 free meals. That's right, up to 27 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, marleyspoon.com/offer/mybrother for up to 27 free meals. Make sure you use our promo code MYBROTHER so they know we sent you.
Hey, it's John Moe from Depression Mode. Every week on our show, we have honest, humane conversations with artists, entertainers, and experts about what it's like to live with an interesting mind. I just interviewed Gavin Rossdale from the band Bush. You might be wondering, what would a successful, handsome, popular musician know about mental health? Turns out, lots.
All the time, we're forced into happy situations, sad situations, challenging situations. Happy, sad, challenging. And it just never ends. And why should it? You know, we're just the sum of all these journeys.
Check out Depression Mode with John Moe every Monday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you been looking for a new podcast all about nerdy pop culture? Well, I have just the thing for you.
Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries is a weekly pop culture history podcast hosted by me, host Austin.
And me, host Brenda. We've already tackled mysteries such as what happened to the puppets from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Is Snoopy Mexican? And why do people hate Barney so much?
From theme parks to cartoons to 80s, 90s, and 2000s nostalgia, we tackle it all.
Check us out every Tuesday on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts.
All right. In my hour of need.
I want a man squad. I want 2 months
squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad's podcast, the podcast profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating.
What have you prepared
And rather
for
than
us?
Say what we're going to be talking about, I'm going to show you guys, and the leadoff is going to be how you react to it.
Okay, great.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait.
Fuck. Yeah, okay. So my initial just, for me, Juice, it was, yeah, okay, fuck. So yeah, it was-
That
like
is recorded for all of posterity.
Yeah.
Here's how what Griffin, I love about this image, Justin.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the image, Travis.
There's like an upfront hit where it is such a weird consistency on a pizza. Then I see the tin that says pizza caviar.
That's sort of the thing that caught my eye.
Yes. And then in little print above pizza caviar is Pizza Hut logo.
So that is interesting, Travis. It's you get hit with the initial feeling of how bad it is to look at this before you know what it is. And then you see that it's pizza caviar from the tin. And that feels bad in a different way.
Yeah.
Because then you're despairing that that this is the moment in history in which you are alive. And then you see the Pizza Hut on there and you're like, okay, I'm listening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
It used to be kind of cool, like, I'm alive at the same time as David Bowie and Prince. That's pretty sick. But I'm also, unfortunately, lived long enough that now there's pizza caviar. And the image we are looking at, it does look like a fairly burnt up little personal pan pizza that is covered in what I could only describe as marinara dipping dots.
Yeah.
That's a really good call, Griff.
A designer. Like, I don't claim to have an especially good, like, grasp on color theory.
Yeah.
But the fact that they put this very red pizza on a different red...
What looks like the cover, like the red leather bound
like crocodile
tone.
Skin?
Yeah, something like that.
It's a very aggressive image.
Very challenging.
Pizza Hut is putting an indulgent twist on the caviar craze, sweeping foodie culture with the launch of pizza caviar.
Yeah, man.
The first of it. Yeah, man. Caviar bumps.
Caviar bumps.
Here's the thing.
Big way.
Can you call a thing that has existed for, I believe, hundreds of years?
No. This is a specific craze, Travis. Caviar bumps refers to putting caviar in your hand and letting your body warm it, and then just eating the caviar like that. They're all the rage, or at least they were in motherfucking 2022 when the New York Times wrote caviar bumps are all the rage. So this is...
Coming in a little late.
Yeah, a little late, Pizza Hut, on this one.
Also
now
gross.
Now it's tinned fish. Caviar bumps are out. Tinned fish is in a major
Now
way.
It's caviar lines. You gotta just snort the caviar
snort
straight
right
up.
Up there.
This is a first-of-its-kind innovation that transforms fine dining trend into something completely unexpected.
Caviar I would say on paper, that whole sentence is true.
I thought you were going to say unacceptable, which is also
Caviar has been elevating some of the world's most beloved comfort foods with the unexpected high-low pairings popping up in upscale restaurants and gracing social feeds across the country. In true Pizza Hut fashion, the brand asked, why just place caviar on your pizza when you can reimagine it entirely and create a bold new food category? Inspired by the rise of caviar bumps
3 years ago,
these bite-sized pizza caviar pearls are made to taste like pepperoni and designed for dipping, dunking, and bumping.
Thank God they're bite-sized. Can you imagine if they were bigger than bite-sized?
I would say they're nostril-sized, if you want to be honest about it. I'm ready to do these beloved bumps.
Also, can you give me, and it's imperative that you give me the exact phraseology of designed to taste of pepperoni. What was that again? Hit me with that
the
again.
These bite-sized pizza caviar pearls. And again, I do want to touch on, it's an edible product. As my brother said, bite-sized is an insect. They're very tiny. They're in no way bite-sized. They look like tapioca.
Yeah.
These bite-sized pizza caviar pearls are made to taste like pepperoni.
They're made to taste like pepperoni.
So they're not pepperoni. They're not made of pepperoni. They don't taste like pepperoni.
The intention was there.
The intent of this product is that the flavor is reminiscent of pepperoni. That was our intent at inception.
Yes.
Our goals were pure.
To bring it all back around, these are to pepperoni as current dire wolves are to dire wolves.
Yes, Travis.
Dire wolves were made to taste of dire wolves.
Yeah.
That is a similar situation, yes.
Crafted to replicate the look and feel of traditional caviar without the fish, pizza caviar delivers a bold, smoky pepperoni flavor in a fun new form.
Yeah.
And pizza caviar is the star of the brand new pizza caviar bump box.
The more they explain it and like the process and the outcome, the more like alien it feels when they're like, we intended to replicate
This like, seems like a joke caviar. Press release. Like a fake press release someone would write in a book written in the year 1990 about how shitty the future was going to be.
Yeah.
And then it's being word for word kind of delivered.
Let me show you guys. Look at this tab. Can you see this tab? Can you see what I've highlighted
here?
Yeah. This is an asterisk. After the first mention of pizza caviar, if you take the asterisk down, here's what it says.
So that's pepperoni flavored water and agar based caviar style pearls. That is my favorite Limp Bizkit album.
Caviar, like pepperoni flavored water and agar based caviar style pearls.
Also, so sick of them to get on the agar trend. A good fucking maybe 9, 10, 11 years after the fact. I'm more excited about this pepperoni flavored water. Let me just get that. You don't have to Wiley Dufresne it, man. Just let me get it raw and wriggling, you know, just the juice for me, thanks.
The pizza caviar. Okay, so this is the pizza caviar bump box. It's a luxe limited time twist on my Hut box, Pizza Hut's signature combo meal. The box includes one personal pan pizza and a choice of three plain boneless wings or fries, all topped with three wings are the number of wings you'll have.
What's the correct number of buffalo? What's the correct number of buffalo wings to eat with caviar? Because I think three actually sounds pretty right to me.
Yeah, that's a good number. One little tiny thing that they do want to mention that I want to mention about this is that Pizza Hut's new product innovation, Pizza Caviar Bump Box, will be available exclusively at the Pizza Hut located at 932 8th Avenue in New York City from April 10th to April 12th from 4 to 8 p.m. while supplies last.
I gotta go.
It must be so fucking annoying to live in New York City all the time and just want to go to Pizza Hut to get a normal pizza one day, and yet they are always like, every chain is always doing the wildest shit, and you are the lab rats because you live in a populated city where all these marketing firms are based. You have to suffer for that and eat these pepperoni pearls that are made of pepperoni water just because you live in the same city as the major marketing firm.
It also must be such a huge strain on the infrastructure of New York City when something like this happens and there's just this flood of people rushing to New York City for these 2 days to get their hands on these pizza pearls. It must be such a strain on the city and its economy and everything. It must be so hard.
I will say it probably is easier than the average amount of difficulty to obtain pepperoni flavored water in New York City than it would be in like DC or any other.
I want to draw your guys' attention to something else here in this press release. A luxe limited time twist on my Hut box, Pizza Hut's signature combo meal. And we see the double asterisk here, right? So will you guys come down with me down the page here? And
yeah, take me.
Trav, will you read what's at the double asterisk?
Oh, yes, of course. This is available April 10th through 12th. Oh, at the location you said. Three boneless naked medium wings only. Availability, pricing, and participation varies. Pizza caviar is pepperoni flavored water and agar face caviar style pearls.
I shit you not. It's in there twice under both of the asterisks. They don't even want to take a fucking chance.
Also, I can't stress enough. There's only one location listed and then participation varies.
Tell me that this isn't an AI generated thing, guys. Please tell me it's not, because there's no way that they have to specify you can only get three wings, and also it's only available at this one restaurant.
But participation varies.
All the way here can be four wings.
So
please.
I might go to that restaurant and be like, "Hey, this is the one location where you're doing the pizza bump caviar," and they're like, "Yeah," and I'm like, "Cool, can I have some?" And they said, "Yeah, we're not doing that shit."
Yeah. But you should also know that we legally have to tell you the pepperoni flavored water and agar based caviar style pearls.
That is important for you to know. You can have it. It will cost you $300. It cost that guy like $20. Yeah. The pricing varies. We want more from
grow
you.
Grow up. You want the caviar or not? You came all this way. It's pepperoni flavored.
I'll take it. We knew you would, you nasty dog.
Yeah. I guess you have to. I still don't understand if pizza caviar is available only at this location, or if the pizza caviar bump box.
Yeah,
Here's the other thing, Justin.
Yeah.
If I were to add, let's say I get wild, I add caviar to a personal pan pizza.
Now wait, what kind?
Regular fish-based caviar.
Not a pepperoni-flavored agar-based caviar style.
I'm talking your grandma's caviar.
Bog standard fish egg.
Right?
Yeah.
I have added caviar to the experience. Right?
Yeah.
Flavor, experience, all that. If I'm adding pepperoni-flavored caviar to a pepperoni pizza, all I've added is a slight consistency.
You've turned it into orbits.
Yes.
But pizza. Yeah. It's like you love pizza. You know this flat this flat savory cake. It's gonna drive you absolutely insane. But what if we had little jelly balls, little boba pizza for you? Would you like that?
Perhaps.
Would you like that?
Perhaps.
Probably not.
Probably not. That's why we only did it at one restaurant, because we don't have the strength of our convictions.
An aerosolized pepperoni.
Yes.
Please. Give me
a pill form of a pizza. It's 2025. I want to eat a pizza in a pill.
I want pizza pills and pepperoni sprays.
Yes.
All day long.
Caviar
dreams and pepperoni.
And by caviar dreams, what I mean specifically is I want pepperoni flavored water and agar based caviar style pearl dreams.
So important. But
what my grandparents envisioned when they came to this country.
They fought
pizza
for this.
Pills.
They
and
fought
caviar
for this
bumps.
One. We've been folks, good boys and we deserve pepperoni.
We've earned
spray.
This.
That is going to do it for us.
I get
on
that
this
we don't
episode.
Get jetpacks. But
yeah,
pizza
give me pepperoni
pills?
Spray, please.
We really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate you joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode of our podcast because we tried our best.
Yeah,
we
this was
do.
Our best, and I'm sorry that that's true. But I hope you liked it.
I have a couple of appearances we want to tell you guys about. We're going to be at Dragon Con in Atlanta in late August. So make sure you get the details on that at bit.ly/McElroy Tours. We're also going to be at the Harmony House Ren Fair. That is going to be on May 3rd. The exact times and specifics of that are going to be coming up, but if you can be in Huntington May 3rd, we're going to be there, as well as at Origins Game Fair in Columbus in June.
We're everywhere.
We're doing some shows in Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio as well that have been announced, and some of them are Taz, some of them are Bim Bam. All the Taz shows are going to be Taz Versus, and again, to get tickets and find out more about those shows, bit.ly/McElroy Tours.
We've also got merch at the merch store if you haven't checked it out, including a Mickey Mackerel spinner pin. And 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to the National Immigration Project.
Thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You.
Indeed.
It is an honor to use it.
And Montaigne's a privilege.
A privilege. Montaigne's got some new shit popping, and it really cranks. And I congratulate them on their creative mastery.
Journey.
Their creative mastery chart.
There you go.
as one says.
Hey, I've got a fear here that I'd like to read.
Sure.
Okay. This year, I'll be faster than my fear of belly buttons. Just because it happened to Neo doesn't mean it'll happen to me.
Absolutely, it could happen to you any day.
My name's Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
They're real and they're coming.
This has been my brother, me. Kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported directly
by you.